Before we start this episode of Group Answers, I am super excited to let you know about a small groups webinar that I will be hosting on October 9th, 2018 at 11 a.m. Central Time. Our panelists, Steve Gladen from Saddleback Church, Heather Zimple from National Community Church, and Bill Willits from North Point Community Church, will be talking about how to have effective small groups in the modern church. We're at a time when a lot of churches are giving up on or they're moving away from even offering small groups. So how are these three trend-setting churches continuing to produce life-changing and disciple-making groups for not only just church members, but for people outside of the church as well? And the best part about the webinar, it's completely free. Just go to groupswebinar.com. That's groupswebinar.com. Register. And I'll see you October 9th at 11 a.m. for 1 hour. Now, Group Answers.
To episode 68 of the Group Answers podcast show. I'm Brian Daniel, as always, with Chris Surratt.
Hey.
And today we have Jonathan Dodson with us. Welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So Jonathan, as we said, is, or maybe we didn't, but Jonathan is down in Austin, Texas, or over in Austin, Texas. And Chris,
I love Austin. Keep Austin weird.
Yeah, okay. But you were on a tour recently in Texas. Was it just in Texas, or is it like...
No, it was just Texas. We made a tour through Texas, yep.
Okay, and like you always do, you put a creative kind of travel spin on it, and you did your own, like, barbecue brisket.
Yes.
Not pork, but brisket, like, tour.
Yes.
And as it turns out, finish the story, Austin.
Well, we went through several major Texas cities. I actually lived for a long time in Houston, Texas. My wife is a native Houstonian, and so brisket is near and dear to our heart. I mean, that's real barbecue is brisket, and obviously Texas knows how to do it. So we wanted to find out. We were going to kind of be driving through several towns. So we hit San Antonio first, and then we went up and went through Austin, stopped in Austin, hit Dallas, and so at each one of these places, I had brisket just to see which city did it the best, and Austin won. There's a joint called Style Switch. We wanted to go to Franklin's, which I know is the world famous, but they have like literally four hour lines. Jonathan, have you been to Franklin's?
I have been there and I've eaten Franklin three times, but I don't ever have to sit in a line because somebody ends up going and get it and bringing it back to the office. So it's kind of the ideal scenario.
Oh, nice. Well, we were just, you know, going through Austin, so we didn't have 4 hours to hang out in the line. We weren't going to get there at 6 in the morning. But so we stopped. A buddy of mine said, go to Style Switch. So we stopped there, and it was beautiful. It was juicy. It was just a really nice piece of brisket. So Austin won the barbecue war.
So, Jonathan, I mean, is Franklin's the winner? I mean, locally, is that where everyone goes? I would assume not. A lot of times the touristy places aren't the winners locally.
Yeah, you know, Franklin is highly rated for sure. You know, there's a lot of good choices. You said Style Switch. It's kind of a saltier, more vinegary kind of sauce from what I remember.
That's right, it was.
So I tend to like a little sweeter sauce. You know, the meat's good everywhere. Black's is a great place, local place. Our men's group took a tour of their pits, which was really cool. And then we sat down and just ate our hearts out.
I made,
there's so many good places.
Yeah, I made my own brisket for the first time a couple weeks ago, and I've got a long ways to go. I'll just say that. It was pretty good, but I got a long ways to go.
Well, Jonathan, thanks for being with us for this episode. For those of you that are not aware, Jonathan is a founding pastor, but because of his work and gospel-centered discipleship, and if you've read that book, he, at least for me, introduced the idea of fight clubs and what that means in terms of discipleship environment, gives him a very unique, I think, perspective on group life, and we'll get to that in a minute. But before we do, let me just let you guys know, as I said, he is the founding pastor of City Life Church in Austin, Texas. According to at least one member of the cast here, the barbecue capital of the world. If not the world, then maybe Texas. The church Jonathan started with his wife Robbie and a small group of people. They have three children, one with a 13th birthday just coming up. Jonathan is also the founder of GCDiscipleship.com. I would recommend checking that out. And the author of a number of books, including Here in Spirit, Knowing the Spirit Who Creates, Sustains, and Transforms Everything, The Unbelievable Gospel, and Gospel-Centered Discipleship. Jonathan enjoys listening to M. Ward, watching sci-fi, and going for walks. And Jonathan, we had a question about the sci-fi. So
okay.
give us like your top of mind. I mean, which ones do you enjoy watching the most? What comes to mind?
Watching and reading. I'm kind of a sucker for anything sci-fi. I mean, even like Doctor Who sci-fi. So,
that's my daughter.
So yeah, I grew up on Doctor Who. I lived in England and I read all the books and watched the BBC shows, and then kind of came back to it as a father with my kids. Sucker for good B sci-fi, but I really like philosophical stuff. So like Arrival, Annihilation, two recent movies that were very thought provoking, but definitely in the sci-fi genre. So I can be picky, but I love spaceships and, you know, weird stuff. So
here's a follow up question on Doctor Who, and this matters a lot in my household. But which doctor is the best doctor?
Tom, I can't remember his last name, the mop of brown curly hair.
Okay, you can even just say number.
Maybe the fourth doctor.
Yeah, fourth doctor. Because in our house, it's just numbers most of the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we've got to move on, but Annihilation and Arrival, two just absolutely fantastic. I haven't always been a sci-fi fan, but I am today. And I really liked Interstellar.
That's good.
Welcome to the fold.
Yeah, those three recent, and
Christopher Nolan, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
For sure.
So we've already mentioned it, but gospel-centered discipleship, and just for the sake of record, Jonathan and I met in our work on the Disciples Path resource, which has been really good for churches, six-volume set, and Jonathan was a part of that. Jonathan, I think it was 2 days here in Nashville. All right, I think you were here for both of those days.
Yes, appreciate you guys including me in that.
We outlined those books, and it was quite the task. And if I'm recalling right, it was the opposite in terms of weather of anything Austin has seen. I think it was one of those spells where it was like 5 degrees for sustained periods, you know, like days.
Oh yeah,
like
days. It was frigid. Yeah.
and so as a part of that meeting, I read Gospel-Centered Discipleship, and in that book, he talks about and wrote extensively about fight clubs. In fact, it's the culmination of that book and the thesis, and that's the living out of this gospel-centered discipleship. And we've interviewed him on the Group Answers blog, and it seems like there's been another touch point. But I wanted to begin today just with that idea of fight clubs. And you and I have had a couple of exchanges, both text and email. And I've actually got a fight club going. I think you knew that. I always tag you on my Twitter post. But in terms of just City Life Church there in Austin, can you give us just a little bit of background about like how you develop fight clubs and what they are even and what happens in fight clubs?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So fight clubs are not, kind of hyper-masculine groups where we beat each other up. They're not even, gender. They're not just male centric. So they're really just discipleship groups. And the fighting imagery comes from the pastoral epistles, where we are instructed to fight the good fight of faith. So we're fighting for faith to trust and to treasure Jesus. So, and they're gender specific. So men getting with men, women getting with women, 2 to 3. For getting together on a regular basis in order to fight the fight of faith and grow in holiness and love for Jesus and in his mission. So that's what fight clubs are. You know, succinctly, we say we want them to repent of sin, rejoice in Christ, and reproduce disciples. So that's what a fight club is. It's how we try to cultivate depth of discipleship at City Life. One of the ways we recommend people doing that is as they come together to do follow kind of a process of text theology life. So when you get together, start with the biblical text, move to the theological meaning, the God-centered, Christ-centered meaning of the text, and then let that speak to what's going on in your life, and therefore shape you towards Christ. We've noticed that when city groups, or excuse me, fight clubs flip the order and go life, theology, text, where they just kind of pool their sorrows or talk about life, that they often don't get to the text, and they lack kind of an earnestness and a hopefulness that comes with putting the gospel at the center of their faith. So you know, small groups, two, three, men with men, women, women, fighting the fight for faith in the gospel of Jesus.
Jonathan, I talk a lot about the concept of fight clubs, where it's kind of that two or three or four that gather outside of the bigger community group, and sometimes call it D groups or discipleship intensive groups. But one of the questions I get a lot from group pastors and group point people is, how do you equip the leaders to lead those type of groups, to lead fight clubs? And then, you know, how do you support that, or should you support that from the pulpit, or should it be more organically, you know, driven from the small group, from the community group? So can you talk about that a little bit? How do you equip those leaders, and then how do you talk about it publicly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a room for a variety of approaches on equipping for discipleship in any given church. So I can tell you what we do. We tend to be less programmatic and see kind of the city group as the organizing kind of principle of the church. And then within the city group, you have fight clubs. Sometimes the fight clubs are not in the city group. There are people that met in the, you know, broader church. So in order to equip them, we don't do a lot, honestly. This is kind of just ordinary Christianity, you know, discipleship. So we feel like the preaching, the training that comes through our city seminary, seminars, and the pastoral care and counseling that we offer all create an environment for a discipleship, a disciple to thrive. So there's just the general things that we are using for discipleship across the church to train people for being disciples in community or doing a fight club. In addition to that, modeling. So, you know, I pick a young guy and his faith and start meeting with him, include somebody else. And then after 6 months or 12 months, I'll leave, and then they can start a new group, or I'll go start a new group and they can continue. So, but there's a modeling, you know, dimension to it. And ideally they multiply that way. But that doesn't always work out. So there's just, training and leadership of the church. There's modeling. We do use preaching too. So I frequently address both city groups and clubs in preaching. For instance, recently had a sermon in 1 Thessalonians 2, and Paul said in a passage that he was reminding the Thessalonians that he did not come to them with flattery. The word flattery actually means to tailor your message. It's not what we think of where you pile on the compliments. So he was saying, like, we don't tailor the message of the gospel. And so to apply to fight clubs, I said, are you tailoring your message in your fight clubs? Are you just sharing just enough to get stuff off your chest, but not going deep and calling one another into repentance and faith in Jesus? Are you tailoring the message? You're not really talking about sin or judgment. Again, just in the course of a normal sermon, making some application to fight clubs and then moving on. Occasionally I'll say, if you're not in a fight club, we'd love for you to start one. You can grab a copy of the book, get together with a friend, and get started. We do some men's events, or, we've got a weekend or two where we had a little, talk or something, and then encourage people to join or start a fight club. But it's not a highly programmed and it's not a highly trained environment, because we think it's just the natural outworking of the gospel in an ordinary disciple's life.
And I'm guessing you've done these for a while. When did you start your first Fight Club? Was it when you released the book, or had you guys already been doing that before?
I mean, I feel like I've been doing them for years when didn't call them that, but, you know, just with friends and we would, you know, I think the term used to be used, accountability groups. I think that has a certain baggage, and accountability groups can actually be, you know, the checklist. Did you do this or that? And
right.
So choose to not use that language, but was in, you know, relationships with men where I was trying to grow my faith. Our first one was, it started in our living room when our church started. So, a guy in our church, and we started meeting and working through some stuff. And then I thought, oh, man, I need to write this up and kind of help our church do this. It's kind of started in relationship in my living room with a friend, a guy younger in the faith. And we just kind of multiplied it from there.
So kind of looking back now, and having done it for several years, what has been the impact on overall ministries of the church? Have you seen more people engaged, more people growing? And kind of what have you seen? You know, have you seen a lot of fruit coming out of this, people spiritually growing? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think maybe as a segue to answer your question from the last question, I think we could do more to promote them. And, you know, so I think there's room for growth in that. That said, we see a lot of really good stuff coming out of them. I think in general, it promotes holiness in our church. If Fight Clubs are doing what they're supposed to do and the gospel central, And we see this. So think of some girls right now who are counseling one of their friends through a really bad marriage that's moving towards probably divorce. They are reading the Psalms with her. They're crying with her. They've invited, she comes over. She stayed the night when things are rough. And so that happens because there is a depth and a closeness in those female friendships that enable her to navigate a very difficult time in her life. So that's tremendous. It's not the job of, you know, pastors to swoop in on every counseling issue. We're involved with this as elders. But, you know, so I think the benefit is a general holiness in the church, but also the church being the church to one another, to being kind of the first stop for the ministry of the word, being the first stop for sympathy, compassion, care. And so there's a thickness to that in our church that I think is really healthy. From a men's group, repentance over pornography, you know, that's a real good fruit of this. And seeing, I'm thinking of one group I know in particular, a gentleman actually kind of hiding it from his wife and hiding it for years, and then finally getting it out with the Fight Club. And then, I mean, coming to some real brokenhearted repentance over it, and then growing and having lots of victory and having healthier relationship with his wife. And, you know, and then being honest with other men, and then that inspiring transparency and repentance in other men. So that'd be another benefit. You know, just male and female friendships in the church is another benefit that, you know, in a group of 20, 15, 20 in a community group, you can't go super deep with everybody. So we kind of see community groups, God picks your community, you pick your friend. So our community groups are geographically based. And it's important that we are working together to renew our part of the city. So we kind of geographically based community groups, but you know, God picks your community based on that, but you get to pick your friends, you know, so that your Fight Club might be people in your community group, it might not be, but you need to pick someone that you know and you trust, and you feel like you can go deep with and be really honest. And I think that really helps male friendship become a reality in an age where it's, you know, we kind of struggle with that. So, and then I think leaders come out of it. You know? So promote holiness, counseling in the church, kind of a thick discipleship, kind of priesthood of believers, and then just real, you know, real repentance and joy in Christ.
So many of our listeners are going to be associated with small group leadership. Not all, probably, but quite a few. I know, Jonathan, I am responsible for at least 8 purchases of Gospel Center Discipleship. So just wanted to know that.
Well, thanks for supporting. I hope they've been helpful.
Yeah. So, in fact, we've actually multiplied out of our group. So here's just the question. I developed what we do in our time. We started, like you recommend in the book, we started with the book and just walking through the book. I did not have any problem recruiting 2 or 3 guys. And I'm an elder at our church, but I like things like this being a little more organic. It hasn't caught on yet. I think support from the pulpit, like what you do, is advisable and is preferable, but it doesn't have to be that way. Anybody can just pick up the book and invite 2 or 3 other people, men or women. I think you recommend gender specific in these, and start this. My question is, and I think a lot of people will be asking that are listening, is how do you resource this? And I can see a leader saying, this is a great idea. It's not the first time I've heard it, but my struggle is I've got to go find another layer of leadership, and then we've got to resource it. How do you guys get past that at the church? I mean, what is it that the churches do? I do exactly what you recommend. I do text, and then what attributes of God emerge in this text? That's the way I frame it, and that's the theology, mm-hmm. and then that's mm-hmm. you know, spins off some different conversations, and then at the end is the application or so. What do we do in light of these truths that we've discussed? And it's mm-hmm. not a hard thing to put together. But it's also a little bit what I do for a living. So I don't, you know, not everybody does that. So I'm wondering what you guys do at City Life to just to address those questions.
Yeah. Are you asking how are you helping equip leaders to do text theology life?
Yeah.
Or is it a bigger question?
I think what I would like to know is what do they do? I mean, so do they have something in front of them other than the Bible, or Is there some kind of help that the church provides for those that have agreed to facilitate these discussions?
It's pretty self-driven, honestly. We don't provide anything. Usually, people just use their Bibles. I think of a guys group that has been reading through 1 Kings together, and they do what we kind of described. You know, they read it during the week. They come together and they talk about the text, and then move to theology, God, Christ, and then into their life. So there's not a handbook or, you know, sometimes guys will read through a book. So in my fight club, a year and a half ago, we read through a book called Union with Christ, because we felt like there was a particular need to grow in that area, and we wanted to develop more intimacy with Jesus. So there's a lot of freedom to do what you want to do. But there's not a lot of handholding on kind of how to do it. One thing that we do to help, I think, is we offer regularly a class on biblical interpretation, you know, on how to read the Bible well. And that helps people, I think, probably go into the fight club with a little more confidence in terms of reading scripture and applying it to their life.
That was kind of my thought, Jonathan, is do you ever worry about a leader of one of these not knowing what to do when there's tough questions about theology or doesn't really know how to you know, dig into the scripture the right way? So do you ever worry about that? Does that happen a lot? Do you give them some advice on, you know, don't go there or don't, you know, make up your own theology? Make sure you ask a pastor. You know, is that a big concern for the church leadership?
Theological integrity is a big concern. I think we probably have created a culture where that is generally a value, and City Seminary helps reinforce that, and our preaching helps reinforce that. And we occasionally get questions. I think there's just a lot of crowdsourcing in discipleship these days. So, you know, hey, what have you read for this? You know, I've got this issue. And generally, I think there's a culture where people are going to get good counsel from people if they're looking for resources. So,
Okay, so Gospel Center Discipleship released in 2012. I can't believe it has been that long. So if you wrote it today, Jonathan, what from your experiences in these last few years would you be sure to include?
Well, chapter one's too long. It needs to be divided into two chapters. I have been asked so many times for a condensed version of the book to make it more implementable, more easy to kind of get through and start one. And I want to do that. I need to do that. I think doing it with my wife so that there's more female perspective, I try to address a particular sins or struggles, from a male and female perspective, as I work through the book, but I would love to have more of a woman's perspective on that resource. It tends to lean towards the peer based groups and not the mentor based group. So we see in 1 Thessalonians 2, brother to brother relationship, and then we see mother to father, father to son, mother to daughter type relationships, or Titus 2. I think if I were to expand it, I would talk more about mentor based groups and how to lead those, maybe some tips and kind of rationale for that. And then maybe a bit on how to recenter if you get off the gospel. How do you recenter a conversation? How do you recenter an entire fight club? And what does that look like so that they really flourish in their faith?
I've quoted you several times. There's a line in Gospel Center Discipleship that says, we never graduate from the gospel.
Amen.
I've used that several times.
Yeah, amen. It can't improve on it, so don't try to graduate from it.
That's so good. Let me ask you last question, Jonathan, about the book that just released, which is Here in Spirit. And excited about getting into that, but how is this different from other books about the Holy Spirit? Just give us kind of the backstory and what brought you to this topic.
The backstory is 20 years ago, I was reading in my study and I became profoundly convicted that although I had known the Spirit for, 15 years, I'd never really related to him. So I had related to Father and to Jesus, and I just repented of neglect of the third person of the Trinity. And that was met, of course, with the graciousness and the sweetness of Christ. And as a result, began to study and know and develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's interesting to me that we talk about as evangelicals our personal relationship with Jesus, but we don't talk about a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And yet the Holy Spirit is equally divine, equally a person, has very similar, talks, helps, guides, can be lied to, obeyed, just like a person. and so I came out of that backstory, but my kind of pastoral or discipleship heart behind this is that people would begin to know the Holy Spirit. So the book is different in that it's not gift-centric, it's Spirit-centric. It's not a debate over gifts, although the gifts are important. I think the church has gotten way off and actually obsessing about spiritual gifts has actually marginalized the biggest gift, the Holy Spirit himself.
Chapter one.
And yeah, so I have been so changed by a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and I want others to know him, enjoy him. And so that would be one contribution I think makes it a bit distinct. There's a lot of good books that have been written on the Holy Spirit. Perhaps another one would be that the Spirit is a big view of the Spirit. So I'd say the Spirit is as big as the cosmos, but as small as you and me. In other words, he's the perfecter of creation. He's hovering over the waters of the deep. He's there at the end welcoming us into the new creation. He's there a kind of perfecting creation throughout redemptive history. And so that gives meaning, the Spirit gives meaning to how we work, how we enjoy the arts or appreciate the arts, the culture we make, the mercy that we express. And so there's this spiritual formation, like he's as small as you and me, and dwells at each one of us. It's mind-blowing. It's real. He's felt. He's known. He's enjoyed. He prompts us, but then it's vague and expansive. You know, he's the perfecter of creation. And so he, as he renews the face of the earth, as he guides us, made in God's image to create culture, he's about big, big things in our world and in our society. So kind of maybe two points there, or two things on how it's a little different.
Well, Jonathan, thanks for being with us on the show. I would add to that that the book, which is available now, Here in Spirit by Jonathan Dodson, has discussion questions at the back. So it's 14 chapters. So if your group wanted to pick and choose from those chapters, I'm sure Jonathan would be okay with that if you didn't want to commit to all of it. But certainly sure. Would recommend this and any other book that Jonathan has available in print right now. And you can learn more about him. We've already referenced gcdiscipleship.com, but you can also go to jonathandodson.org and follow Jonathan on Twitter at JONATHAN_DODSON. Jonathan, again, thanks for being with us. Enjoyed you being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, and thanks for taking interest in these things. I hope they're a blessing to your listeners in promoting the gospel and enjoying Christ. So thank you, guys.
Great. Thanks, Jonathan. And also, just want to let you know, if you enjoy this podcast, we would love for you to go to iTunes and rate us. Hopefully you give us a 5-star if you like it. And also a comment. That really helps this podcast get out to as many people as possible. So subscribe to it. Go and like it on iTunes.
That's going to wrap it up for episode 68 of the Group Answers Podcast Show. I'm Brian Daniel for Chris Surratt. Thanks to Jonathan Dodson, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.